Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
All right, ladies, do you ever have that thought about that man in your life? I wish I knew what was going on in that head of his. Well, today we'll hopefully get a few insights on that as we talk with Dr. Mike Bechtel. He's the author of the new book, I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. Looking forward to a great conversation with Dr. Mike in just a few moments. I'm Erin Ekstrand, have the privilege of filling in for Neil Stavem today on Connecting Faith. Ted's here with me as well.
Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Looking forward to this conversation with Mike Bechtel. And as I read through his book, one of the things I really appreciated that he talked about is this book is not an instruction manual. It's an understanding manual. Mm-hmm. And thought about not only in the case of relationships between men and women and within families, of coming at it from the perspective of, I'm not trying to change someone. I'm not trying to fix someone, but I'm trying to understand.
Oh, yes.
And boy, if we took that perspective, not just in our marital relationships, but as we look at the political scheme right now, in our world, as we consider a lot of the tensions that have been happening in our country, even over the summer and in the past several weeks, to be able to take that perspective and say, I want to try to understand. I'm not necessarily going to agree with everything, but right now, let me just understand, to let that be our first way of approaching something. What a difference that would make.
So needed. Such a good word for it, Erin. I think, you know, we're so quick to judge and to defend our position, and that's where the divisiveness and really the violence can come in then when all that happens. But you're right. I think take time to just stop and say, it's not wrong. It's just different. Let me understand. I love that word.
Yeah. You know, we know as believers in Christ and as those with a biblical Christian worldview, there are some things that are right and wrong. There are such things as absolute truths. We're not saying that.
Right.
But in so many things, whether it's just differences. And in many ways, God has created those differences because we need those differences to grow. But where the insecurity, and I'll be the first one to say, sometimes when I'm confronted with something that's different, I get insecure and I want to be right. I want to know that my way is the right way.
Yep.
But yet to be able to approach it and say, you know what, I'm not going to start out saying what's right and wrong. Let me just try to understand first. Boy, what a difference that would make.
Such a great distinction. And, you know, as it applies to marriage, I think it's going to be a great conversation today with this author, because you wonder sometimes, you know, what is going on in that head of yours, husband, wife.
Exactly.
So it'll be good.
Well, we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's listen to John Stone Street today with The Point.
Good news? Well, not so fast. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. The Washington Post reports on a counterintuitive trend. Millennials, especially those born in the 90s, are having sex less frequently than their parents were at that age. A study just published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior found that young adults are shacking up less often and with fewer people. They're not strictly monogamous, but the raging hookup culture isn't raging as much as it used to be. Good news? Well, not really. As several of those quoted in the article admitted, it's not that they've lost interest in sex. They have trouble forming relationships and are wary of heartbreak and abuse. Many say it's tough in an online world for average-looking people to find love. One man probably spoke for millions when he admitted he mainly likes pornography. Look, a decrease in casual premarital sex is not worth celebrating if the reason for it is that young people are isolated, paralyzed, and addicted to filth. Some good discipleship toward faithful, fruitful marriages and relationships is in order here. Hey, church, that's our cue. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Well, it's a great cue for us today as we are going to talk about relationships between men and women. As we're hearing from John Stone Street, they're millennials struggling to have those meaningful connections and relationships. And so thankful that God has given insight and wisdom to people like our author and speaker today, Dr. Mike Bechtel. He's the author of I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. He's also written a number of other great books, including People Can't Drive You Crazy If You Don't Give Them the Keys, How to Communicate with Confidence, and You Can't Text a Tough Conversation. His articles have appeared in publications such as Writer's Digest, Pastors.com, and Entrepreneur. He's a frequent speaker and lives in California. Dr. Mike Bechtel, thank you so much for being with us today. We're looking forward to our conversation.
Well, thanks, Aaron. It's a privilege to be with you.
Oh, well, I just finished reading the book today. I've been reading it over the past week. So excited to jump into this. But before we even get into the content, would love to give you just a chance to share with us a little bit more of who you are, how God has brought you to this place of being a relationship expert, a speaker, and specifically would love to hear how he led you to write this book.
You know, it's interesting because my whole background, the first part of my career, I was in education. I used to teach at Talbot School of Theology and Biola University. And little by little, I felt like I was getting surrounded with Christians. And I didn't have any non-Christians in my life, even though I was teaching a course there on evangelism and discipleship. Little by little, God nudged me into the business world. So for the last couple of decades, I've been doing corporate training, going into different companies. And it's given me a chance to just learn about the dynamics that happened in corporations. And I used to think it was about organizational development and strategy and those kind of things. But the things that cause issues in organizations almost always come back to people and communication. It's the same thing that happens in relationships. And that's why I got interested a few years ago and started doing some books around that whole thing of just how do you survive other people who aren't quite like us. And when I'm right, when I think I'm right, kind of like you said earlier, if I think I'm right, do I really want anybody else's opinion? And so that's why for this book, to recognize that I have never been inside a woman's brain, but most of the books that I looked at on how to deal with men and how to understand them were written by women. And so I thought, you know what, there needs to be one by a guy who's kind of lived there. And that's why I said I'm not giving advice. I don't know what kind of advice to give. I just want to be a tour guide, take you through a man's brain and show you where the high points are and the scenic lookouts and the toxic waste and just to walk with you on that journey. So you get a chance to look around and then maybe that understanding can come.
Yeah, I love how you made that distinction even in the introduction to the book, that this is not an instruction manual, it's an understanding manual.
Right.
Well, before we even get into some of those differences, I also really appreciated the foundation you set in saying there's a home court advantage when we focus on our similarities. Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think what happens is the similarities in a relationship is what draws us together. You meet somebody and you have so much in common. And then after you get married or even before, as the relationship grows, we start seeing where the other person is different, which kind of interprets as crazy sometimes. And we think, wait, I didn't sign up for this. That's not who they were earlier. We think they've changed. But really, we're just starting to notice that. And it's so easy to focus on the differences, and that's all we see. It's like putting a little black dot in the middle of a white sheet. It's a little dot, but it's all we notice. We don't even notice the sheet. Mm-hmm. And I think about my son got married a couple years ago, and I asked him sometime after the wedding, I said, so what's your biggest surprise? He said, when I was in college and high school, I dated girls who were just like me. I thought the more like me they are, the better. He said, but the girl that I married is so radically different. We are total opposites. And that's what keeps it so fun and energizing. We have more to draw into the relationship because we've got those differences. But that's where we start with a home court advantage. We don't want to lose the similarities that draw us together. And then that's the base of how we handle those differences.
Mm-hmm. And I love even just some of those similarities that you bring out in the book, Mike, some of them. The fact that as men and women, we both want to be loved. We both have an element of a desire to be respected, to be needed, to be focused on. Any of those specifically that you want to touch on?
Well, I think that most of it has to do with humanity. Mm-hmm. There are just certain things we need from other people. And the reason we get into relationships is because we think here's someone that can meet my needs. And we realize over time they can't meet my needs. We realize we have a creator that can do that. But in terms of a human relationship, yeah, they're going to meet a lot of needs, but that's not the basic source. Because it comes as we meet each other's needs, not how can I get you to meet my needs, but how can I focus on making sure that I meet your needs? Mm. And it just makes a much healthier relationship if we're giving instead of trying to just get.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, we're going to dive into some of those differences after our coming break. But there's one thing I wanted to touch on as well, is you really distinguish sometimes when women come across something in a man that's frustrating, to really have to discern, is this something that's happening because he's male, or is this part of his own individual stuff? Can you talk about that? Because that was a really helpful distinction for me.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, mm-hmm. because there are certain things men are the way they are because they are men. And we can talk later about the brain and how that affects it. But some things are just because they're men, and that will never change, and we're going to get frustrated if we try. But there's other things that are part of how they grew up, some of the choices they made and the environment, the things that shaped who they are that are negotiable, things that people can work on, guys can work on. And so it's a matter of figuring out what is part of his maleness and what is part of his, I call it stuff, mm-hmm. that he grew up with. And if we can distinguish between the two and know we're not going to change the male stuff, but we can change the stuff that's part of their background.
All right. Well, we're going to dive into some of those differences in just a few moments. We'll take a quick break and then come back. I want to talk about your comment that men are just tall boys. I want to find out what you mean by that in just a moment. You're listening to Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. I'm Erin Ekstrand filling in for Neil Stavel. We'll be back in just a moment. And if you want to get a copy of this book, you can get your name in a drawing for the book by Dr. Mike Bechtel, I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. Give us a call right now at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. So if you're married, maybe sometimes you're wondering, what was God thinking when he brought us together? And there's always those moments. But today, with our guest, Dr. Mike Bechtel, we're helping, especially us as women, try to figure out what's going on in those men's brains. Mike Bechtel is the author of People Can't Drive You Crazy If You Don't Give Them the Keys, How to Communicate with Confidence, and You Can't Text a Tough Conversation, as well as this new book, I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. I'm Erin Ekstrand filling in for Neil Stavel, and I'm excited to dig into some of these differences here, Mike. Before the break, I mentioned that the comment that you make that men are just tall boys, and I'd love to know what you mean by that and how it can help us as women understand the men in our lives.
I read something in my research that described the fact that you can look at a six-year-old, whether it's male or female, you can look at a six-year-old, look at their basic temperament, kind of how they handle life, and you probably get a pretty good idea of how they're going to be when they're 60. That in those first 6 years, they have shaped, they've got that basic wiring. It is who they are. And of course, they can grow and change, and a lot of things can happen. But the foundation is pretty much going to be the same temperament as they get older. So you watch kids, you watch boys on a playground, and they are they're wanting to be noticed. They're always saying, Mommy, watch. They're saying, do this with me. Can I come along? I want to be there. Swing me. Read to me. They want to be known. They want to be loved. And they want to be respected. And when we're looking at men, that really hasn't changed. Those basic needs are still going to be there. They want to be loved and they want to be respected. It's important to a man. They want to be known, but primarily they want to be known by the most important woman in their life. That means more than anything else because they want to be a hero. It's part of their wiring. But it means most to be a hero to them.
I love how you talked about that because, you know, it's easy to look at the movies in our lives. And I think you even bring out the example of Captain Sully, who landed the flight on the Hudson River when he ran into a flock of birds. And I love the comment that you made. He said, most of us men, if we're willing to admit it, saw that story and wished that we had been him and wished we had been the one to land the plane on the Hudson.
Yeah, and I think it's very subtle, but there's something wired inside of a man that says, I want to be a hero. Mm-hmm. And it's just that there is that competitive nature to some degree. I have a five-year-old grandson, and if I show him my muscles, he'll show me his, and he can convince me that his are bigger than mine because there's something about just where he goes with that. And I think the thing with Captain Sully, he landed that plane and everybody survived. And most of us are thinking, you know what, I'll never have that opportunity. I can't be a hero like that, but I do want to be a hero. And if we can be a hero in our woman's eyes, that really satisfies that need. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have the opportunity, most of us, to bring a plane down safely and do those kinds of things. But Captain Sully didn't plan on that morning. He didn't get up and think, I'm going to be a hero today. He just did his job. And as we go through life, the place we can be a hero is in our home. And if that can take place, and we could talk about what that looks like, but if that can take place, it meets that need. And his wife is the one that made that happen for him.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what that looks like and how we as women understanding that need in men can even just make some slight choice differences in our choices to make sure that we're not undercutting that need in our man's life.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with communication. Mm-hmm. It's how we talk, because there's that tendency to think that because we think so differently, it's that the other person needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. They need to be healed. And it turns into stereotypes, and suddenly you have the stereotype of that men don't have feelings, that they can't be romantic and all those kinds of things. And the more we can understand about why a man thinks the way he does because of how his brain is wired, we can use that. We can capitalize on that, not to fix it, but to say, okay, so if this is how he thinks, how can we use that to really build our relationship? And that's why the communication is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. I love the anecdote you share when you talk about painting the trim or the baseboards in a room that had needed it for a long time, and just the communication that you and your wife had about that. Would you mind sharing that? Because that was really insightful for me.
Sure, because I think we all try to hint and hope people will notice things. And it's like if a man does something, men tend to express their affection by doing things. Mm-hmm. Now, that they need to do it verbally as well, and we really aren't that good at it. We can learn, but when we do something for the woman in our life, it's our way of expressing our care for them and how much we love them. And so we do things for them. Like I wanted to surprise my wife. Actually, I don't know if I wanted to surprise her, but we've been in our house for about 9 years. When we moved in, the baseboards weren't painted. And so I thought one day I was home, she was gone. I thought, I'm going to paint those baseboards. And it'll just feel good when she comes in and notices. I know how good that's going to feel. So I painted the baseboards. And when she came home, I realized she's not going to notice. And so instead of waiting and then being hurt because she didn't notice and didn't say anything, she walked in and I said, you know what, could you come in the bedroom just for a minute and ooh and ah for me over what I did? And she said, sure, give me about 3 minutes. She went and put her stuff down. She walked in. She looked at the baseboard, and she went, ooh, ah. And then she said, you know what? That really does change the whole look of the room. You did a really good job on that. Now, we were playing. We were just messing with it. But it was my way of asking for something instead of just hoping she would notice. And after we did that, it was her way of affirming me and making me kind of the hero for her. It's like, you know what? You really did a good job, and I appreciate it. Mm. That meant the world to me. So I've been painting baseboards everywhere I can find them.
Well, and I love that you could be lighthearted about it, but then following the oohs and ahs, your wife was legitimately and authentically able to really just affirm and, as you said, make you the hero in that. And what you did, too, and just being able to acknowledge your need is something that I think we're all learning to do more and more, both as men and women. Sometimes it's hard to just say what we need in a situation.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's kind of like if a lot of times it happens the other way, where a woman will want her husband to just notice certain things.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say, I get so tired of cleaning up the kitchen. And for a guy, because of the way his brain works, he thinks she's just stating a fact, and he's going to think, oh, all right, well, maybe she should stop. But what she's hoping he'll do is understand, okay, I need your help. But he won't pick that up, and then she can get her feelings hurt if it doesn't happen. So a good thing to say is, I get so tired of cleaning up the kitchen. You know what? Could you just come in and just help me load the dishwasher tonight? That would be huge. Well, if a man hears that, he wants to please his wife, his mm-hmm. woman. And so he will get up and do it. And it means a lot because she gave him a way to do it.
Mm.
He can't read between the lines. Men tend to be focused on one thing at a time. And women tend to associate everything.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that issue of just brain chemistry and how our brains are wired a bit, because that has so much to do with how a man thinks and how he processes things and how women can understand that and adjust the way that we communicate.
Well, we tend to use the biggest part of our brain the most, just like we use our larger muscles to do the biggest things like walking and running. Whatever part of our brain is biggest, that's the one that we primarily use. And it's different for men and women. We both have what's called gray matter and white matter. Gray matter is what we call the part of the brain where we focus and we concentrate and we solve problems. We take one thing and put our energy around it. White matter is the connective tissue that connects everything in the brain to everything else. Men have about 6 times more gray matter than women do, which is why they tend to focus on one thing at a time. Women have about 10 times more of that white matter, so they connect everything to everything else, which is why a woman remembers the details of an event that happened 5 years ago, and a man is lucky if he remembers the event occurred, because he goes from one thing to another. And I can go out to lunch with a friend. My wife can go out to lunch with one of her friends. I'll come home, and I'll say, so how was your lunch? And she will tell me sentence by sentence what the lunch was. I hear the whole script, and I've told her it sometimes it feels like she spends more time explaining it than the lunch actually took. Whereas she'll ask me, says, well, how did your lunch go? And I'll say, it was great. And she says, what did you talk about? And I go, stuff. And I really can't remember, because I use that part of my brain during lunch to completely focus, and then I shifted to something else. So it was behind me. And so that's a huge part of it. It's just the way our brains work, and it's not right or wrong. But, boy, if we can understand that, it can change the way we communicate with each other.
Well, I was going to say that is so helpful to understand, because as a woman, to be able to then say, you know, ask my husband, how did it go? How was your conversation? If he doesn't share much, he's not trying to be coy. He's not trying to keep things from me. It's just that's how his brain works. He was present in the moment, and he's moved on from it.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Well, talk a little bit more about women's, because the way you talked about women's brains and the connections and how we swirl so much, I could really appreciate that and understand that as you were sharing the white matter with women's brains.
Well, I think it's true that men do think of one thing at a time. If they're watching a football game on TV, that's what they're doing. It's the one thing that's in front of them. And then a woman comes along and starts asking him questions, and he starts grunting because he's focused on that, and he doesn't quite realize what's going on. Or if he does, he's thinking, wait, I'm in this mode right now. I'm doing the football thing. I can't do both. And then she might get her feelings hurt because she's watching him doing that and looking at it through her brain that connects everything. She has the ability to watch the game and to vacuum and to talk to somebody and write checks and do all the things that would go along with it, whereas he really is doing one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And so if he doesn't respond, then it's easy to say, well, I know what I would be doing if I was him. I'm watching that. I would be able to listen. So he's ignoring me. Mm-hmm. And what a better way to approach it, just to recognize that, is to say, go up to him and say, you know what, I know you're right in the middle of the game right now. I've got a couple things I need to bounce off of you. When you hit a commercial, could we talk for about 5 minutes? And that opens it up for him.
Oh, so great. That understanding makes such a difference in the way we communicate. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mike Bechtol, author of I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain, just after this break. If you'd be interested in receiving a copy of this book, will you give us a call? Let us know that you'd like that. The phone number is 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484. Carissa will get you in a drawing for a copy of this great and insightful book. I'm Erin Ekstrand filling in for Neil Stavem, and we'll be back in just a moment with Connecting Faith on Faith Radio.
When you see a deer, you see Bambi, and I see antlers up on the wall. When you see a lake, you think picnics, and I see a largemouth up under that log. You're probably thinking that you're gonna change me in some ways, well, maybe you might. Scrub me down, dress me up, all but no matter what, remember, I'm still a guy.
We can laugh about it, but it's true. There are some differences between men and women, and as we seek to understand those and adjust our communication based on those differences, boy, that's going to make our relationships that much more fulfilling. And we're so thankful to have the opportunity to learn about this as we talk with Dr. Mike Bechtel today. He's the author of the book, I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. And Mike, you know, listen to that song for Brad Paisley. There's a lot of jokes and stereotypes that come about guys, but a lot of them aren't true. Can you speak to some of those stereotypes and those myths that are often believed about men?
First, I have to go online and order that song. That was perfect.
Isn't that great?
That was great. I love it. You know what? There are so many of them that it's because where it starts is because if a woman can't figure out why a man is acting the way he is, he doesn't have an instruction manual, and she needs to figure out what to do, so she starts writing her own from her perspective. And sometimes she'll talk to other women, and then you get into stereotypes saying, well, that's just because he's a guy. That's the way he is. And you have to either learn how to cope with it or you need to learn how to fix it. But what we're talking about here is how do you celebrate those differences? Mm-hmm. Because that's where the stereotypes come from, is when we think it's something wrong that needs to be – that men need to be healed. And I think two of the – probably the two biggest ones are that men don't have feelings and that they can't be romantic. Mm-hmm. And I think neither of those – are true. In fact, the exact opposite. And you can watch the team win the Super Bowl or the World Series and see a bunch of guys out on the field. Watch how they emote at the end of that. Oh, they have extremely strong feelings, and they know how to express it in those kind of things. But the tender feelings, that's the one that they either were told when they were growing up it's not manly, or they never saw an example of how to do it. And they're really uncomfortable with how to do that. And so they have very strong feelings, but just usually they just don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you could, one of the ways they tend to express it is by what they do. So if a man is sitting on the couch and he hands his woman the remote, his wife the remote, that's huge because that's his way of saying, I really care. And her response that's appropriate would be, thanks, I love you too. Because that goes back to the one about romance. We watch the movies and see these handsome leading men, and the guys are going, I could never do that. That is so foreign. Well, of course it's foreign. They're acting. It's scripted. But to recognize men deeply want to romance their wives, but they feel so out of ability to do that because of the way it looks on the screen. To recognize that sometimes it just comes through simple things and conversations and little things, like handing them the remote or having just regular conversations. That's what can make the biggest difference. It's real for a man to recognize those little things are his way of trying to go there.
Yeah. Well, my husband is great at that. He brings me my coffee every morning, and I know he's listening right now. So thanks, hon. I love you, too.
I hope my wife's not listening because I don't do that for her.
Oh, sorry, guys. Well, as you talked about men and that myth that men don't have emotions, another thing you talked about that was really, as a woman, a great reminder for me is the sacred, really, opportunity we have as women to provide a safe place for our men to begin to learn how to express those emotions. And we need to respond appropriately or it's going to shut them down. Can you speak more to that?
It's risky for a man to do something that's out of his comfort zone. And if he's been brought up that it's not masculine to be tender, it's not comfortable, for him to try anything where he even says the slightest thing that tries to try and be romantic, if he gets some kind of response, like, you know, he'll just say something, and if he gets laughed at or if he gets kind of put down, or the minimized, he's not going to do it again. It's like, okay, I tried this and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. So safety means recognizing that it is risky for a man to do anything that seems out of the norm for him. If he's working out of his comfort zone to try and reach out and build something and communicate, he may not be doing it very well. But we have to make sure that we don't shut that down or in some way come back to it. Like if he's trying to express something, she says, you never tell me what you're feeling. Better way probably to ask is, tell me what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Because men can go there and they may express their feelings with it. But just to be able to make it safe so when they say something, they don't get a comeback where someone says, well, yeah, but this is what I really meant. It's like, okay, that didn't work.
Yeah.
I tried to communicate and I just got a rebuttal. So safety means listening. It's what you said right at the very beginning before we even started talking. When you were talking to Ted, just listening and trying to understand before trying to reply.
Mm. Another thing about listening that brings up, I think about men and trying to listen to us as women. And you talk about how as women, because our brains are wired with more of that white matter and the connections, we tend to bring in a lot of details. And for men, because of the way men's brains are wired with that gray matter and focus, sometimes it can be hard to stay tracking with us when we've got so many details involved. And yet as women, we can assume if they seem to be tuning out, it's because they don't care. Again, understanding can really help with that.
Gosh, that's a big one. That's really insightful, just even that you would say that, because when a man is listening, if a woman feels like he's listening, it's like, here's my chance. It's like having a one-day pass to Disneyland and you have to go on all the rides at once because you paid for this thing.
What else can I tell him?
yeah. It's like, okay, he's listening. Let me tell him this and this and this and this. And for a guy, a lot of times he does start listening. But because he's so single-focused, he hears clearly the first thing you talk about. And then you bring in something else, and he goes, okay, I think I can see the connection. And then when there's something else, he's going, wait, now which one tied in here? And when he gets quiet, it's probably not because he doesn't care. It's probably because he's going, all right, I don't want to be disrespectful here. I just don't know what to do. I can't do all these at once. And that's why my wife and I have even talked about it. We worked out a signal that if I get to a point where she has gone through enough detail that I've reached the capacity, I can't listen anymore. And it's a physical thing. I just make the timeout signal like they do in sports. And she knows not to be offended by that, because I'm not saying I don't care. That signal has come to mean I just need a break. Give me a chance to process. Or sometimes we can even say it out loud. You can say it to your husband and just say, okay, you know what, I've talked about a lot of stuff here. Do you need some time to just think before we talk anymore, or before I find out where you're going with this? Because he probably does. And if we make it safe, say, can we come back in an hour, or could we talk about this when we have lunch today? It makes it safe for a man to do that, because now he doesn't feel cornered and have to respond and think his wife may feel he's not paying attention or doesn't care. He knows she does. She knows he does care, but they're meeting their needs.
Mm. Again, that understanding is so helpful, because we don't then just assume motives behind what he's doing. We can understand, okay, this is physiologically what's happening. He really does want to care and want to listen,
yeah.
And I just need to give him the space and the time to be able to do that well.
So that motive helpful. Is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of times it's easy for a woman to listen to what a man says or doesn't say and assume what he's really thinking. Well, and men are basically just pretty simple. And usually what they say, that's all they're thinking. There's not a hidden meaning behind it. And so to try and read into it, if you think it's going somewhere else, just ask instead of assume.
Mm-hmm. But as women with those connected brains and all that white matter, Mike, we like to assume. We like to make all those connections on our own.
Yeah, well, that could make for some interesting late night conversations.
I know, it certainly does. And no, but this book has been really insightful for me. And another thing you talk about, you have a section where you talk about the top 14 needs of men. And these were really insightful for me. One of them, right off the bat, you say, we want you to communicate directly. Can you talk more about that? Because that was really helpful for me.
I think that one is, it kind of goes back to the idea of how everything is connected. Because to be direct with the helping load the dishwasher, or could you help me vacuum? Could you just do that for me today? Instead of saying the house is so dirty and I always have to work on it, and making hints. Guys don't get hints. And it's not that they're not frustrated. They're not trying to say, well, it's your job, you should do it. If you told them exactly what you're thinking, they almost always will take action. We had a conversation, my wife and I, a number of years ago, because we both work. And so it's like, so who does the chores? Well, she was home a little bit more than I was. And so I grew up in that traditional thing that said the women do the chores. And that didn't get me very far. But we talked through it to decide, so, you know, what could that look like? And I'm not a big chore fan, but I can we decided on three things. I will clean the bathrooms because I like polishing. I like seeing something change. And so when it looks shiny, I can be the
conqueror of that bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to win that puppy. And then and vacuuming and taking out the trashes on trash day. Because those are things I feel like, you know, I'm throwing a trash can around. It feels kind of manly. And the vacuuming, well, I could take or leave that. But it's something that's important to her. And so it's a way that I can do those, and I've kind of taken ownership of that. But that goes back one of the chapters I know we talked about, why men can't see dirt.
Yes.
And the vacuuming fits there with me because I had to do some research to find out. And they said men can't see dirt. When men think dirt, remember, we're looking at one thing at a time. We're thinking a clump of something or a smear or grease so that it is actual dirt. And I can walk in a kitchen, my wife says, it's filthy, and it looks immaculate to me. But with her wired brain, she's not looking at clumps of dirt like I am. She's thinking of sanitation, how long it's been since she's cleaned. She cut raw chicken on the counter as she sterilized that. And so she's thinking of all the health and the things that go with it. But she says dirt, and I'm thinking a different thing on dirt. So on the carpet, I don't see the carpet look any different. I vacuum because it's important to her. And when I'm done, it looks just the same, except it has lines in it. And I've often thought I could take a stick and draw lines in the carpet and wonder if she thought it was clean. She knows. She can figure it out. She's connecting a lot more things than I am.
Oh, well, Mike, I love that. As we have just a moment or so left, but I love that example where you say, you know what, it's not that important to me. I don't see the clumps of dirt, but I'm going to vacuum because I know that's important to her. And, you know, the show is called Connecting Faith. And, you know, we talk about how we're connecting our Christian faith with the way we, in this case, live out our marriages. And it reminds me of the picture in Ephesians 5 that is painted there of two people that are choosing to sacrifice for the sake of each other and do things that aren't natural to them for the sake of each other. Can you just talk a little bit about how living these things out really helps to fulfill that?
I think it's so important because I even think of the verse where it says that Christ drew us to himself. It was his kindness that drew us to repentance. And I've often thought of that verse in relationships of how we relate to each other, that just recognizing that we're not in this thing to be alone. You get married because two are better than one, and you become one in a relationship. So it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. It's like, you know what, we're in this thing together. And when there's conflict, when there's those types of things, not to let it get between us and push us apart, but make it the trigger to push us together and say, let's do life together and draw from those differences. And that's where synergy comes in and really helping us become, as a couple, a whole lot more than either of us could be as individuals.
That really is the beauty and the discipleship and the change and transformation that comes through marriage. Mike, this has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your gifts and your insights through this book. I feel like we just scratched the surface. But I hope for our listeners it's been as helpful for me as we've talked about understanding these differences between men and women. His name is Dr. Mike Bechtel. He is the author of a number of books, including the book we've been talking about today, I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. Thank you, Mike, and God bless you. And as you continue to work in the business world and really help to bring some health to relationships and communication.
Oh, thanks. It's a privilege to be with you.
Thank you. Well, we talked about how men so value the women in their lives. And here's a great song talking about that. This is from Dave Barnes, God Gave Me You.
with you.
What a fun conversation with Dr. Mike Bechtel, author of I Wish He Had Come With Instructions, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain. Ted and Carissa, I don't know, I learned a lot. I've been married about 16 months now, so I'm thankful to learn some of these lessons starting out. Carissa, you've been married even less than I have, right?
Yeah, just over 3 months, actually.
Oh, my goodness. What was a big takeaway for you as we talked about trying to understand the men in our lives?
Just the reminder that, you know, they can't read between the lines. That's always important for me. You know, just that. And also when my husband is talking, that, you know, usually he's saying what he means and there's not an underlying meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually how I have a trouble communicating exactly what I'm thinking. And so that was really helpful for me to remember to say exactly what I'm thinking, and it will be more helpful with him to gain understanding. And
that is so good. I feel like the movies teach us, like, the romantic thing is if a guy can read our minds. And it's like, Right. Who does that?
Right.
You know? It's actually a lot more romantic if you just tell it like it is. He can respond,
Yeah. And
you do a lot better. So
that's really true.
It's really good.
Yeah, you know, and along those lines for me, too. I mean, yeah. I've been married for over 20 years now.
Yay!
Just celebrated 20 years in May.
Congratulations.
Thankful for that. But I'm still learning, you know, as we go. And like he said, the baseboard thing, you know, bringing his wife in there because he wanted a response and they were having fun with it, he said. But look and see what I did and tell me I did a good job, you know. Men need that affirmation, and I think we sometimes as guys have to take that step to say, hey, here's what I need, hon, you know, and just communicate and just be open about it.
Yeah, and I think for me, similarly, I'm a people pleaser by nature, and so for me, I'm not always direct in saying what I need, and my husband's really been good for me with that and just teaching me how to, if you need something, you want something, just say it. Just tell me what you want, and he's been a safe person for me to learn how to do that and just the value of being able to communicate well. So it really is, as Mike said, a lot about communication. Well, we wanted to take another take on this, and I think about Mike's last words there in the verse talking about it's God's kindness that draws us to each other. And we've got a clip we want to hear from Neil Stavem. A while ago, had the chance to talk with marriage expert and communicator Mark Gunger. You may know his name from the series Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And he talks about two words that really make a difference in marital satisfaction, and those words are be nice.
Just be nice. You know, a marriage license is not permission to be mean. It's stunning to me. Some of the sweetest people in the world sitting in church on a Sunday morning wouldn't hurt a fly, just smiling, participating, nice to everybody until you get them home. And then, you know, the snakes come out, the cats are scratching. And it's insane. Why are you doing this? You don't have to be mean. You don't have the right to be mean. Of course, we've been poisoned by a culture who has taught us one of the biggest lies ever promoted onto a culture of people, and that is this, that you have to be honest with how you feel. So people feel, because some idiot with a PhD somewhere came up with this idea 40 years ago that you have to be honest with how you feel. One of the most important things in marriage, you have to be honest with how you feel. And Christians have been affected by this. So people get home, and then they emotionally vomit all over each other, saying all kinds of mean stuff because they think it's being right because they have to be honest with how they feel. And I always say, stop that. Your mama was right. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. And even if you do have the problems you got to address, and we all do it, you can still do it without being mean and nasty. Again, a marriage license is not permission to suddenly forget your faith and just go at each other's throats. And Christian couples do this every day, and it's just insane. Just be nice, people, for heaven's sakes. People come to me and say, well, Pastor, can I do such and such? I don't know. Is that nice? Well, no. Well, then don't do it. I mean, how hard is this, people? You know? See, everybody's got their reasons. They don't have to be nice. It's absurd. If people would just follow these two words, be nice, you would eliminate the vast majority of divorces in the Christian community. For heaven's sakes, I don't understand why it's such a problem.
So you're not saying not to be honest, though, right? Or does it, don't we all
No, there's a difference between being honest and being honest with how you feel.
Okay.
Everybody feels that there's a right to be honest with how you feel. I got to tell you how I feel. No, you don't. Listen, only in marriage are we so incomprehensively stupid. Can you imagine people today deciding to go to work based on how they feel? Calling their boss and saying, listen, boss, I'd love to come to work today. I really would, but I'm not feeling it. And quite frankly, I think you're an idiot. You know, you'd get fired. I mean, in no area of life. dude, you always feel like going to work. You always feel like doing the right thing. You always feel like doing the stuff that you got. But nobody asks themselves if they have to feel to do what they know they have to do, except when it comes to marriage.
I really wish he would just tell it like it is, you know. Yeah. I wish he wouldn't mince his words so much. So, great words, great reminder to just be nice and be kind. How often do we forget that in our marriages? That was Mark Gunger talking with Neil Stave. A great reminder as we've just been focused on communication and understanding in marriage today. Want to take a moment to listen to Steve Douglas with Make Your Life Count today. His guest is Paul David Tripp. And as we talked about with men aren't trained and taught as part of our culture to share our feelings, to be vulnerable. Well, Paul David Tripp talks today a little bit about how the gospel has really released him from that fear of being known.
Sometimes we can feel disconnected as we walk with God. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas from Making Your Life Count. Paul David Tripp is our guest.
Well, in my own life, what I realized is I was defensive. I had a very active inner lawyer. I would deny. I would shift the blame because I was actually afraid of being known. Now, the truth of the gospel is there's nothing that could ever be known about me that hasn't already been covered by the blood of Jesus.
And understanding this set Paul free.
I don't have to be afraid of being known. I don't have to be afraid of being honest about me. So as I encountered what the gospel had given me as a person, and that becomes the basis of not only honesty about yourself, but honesty in relationships with other people.
It's comforting to know that as we get honest with God, our relationship with others becomes more transparent. And with God's help, we can use our experiences to be a light to those around us.
Great reminder there on Make Your Life Count. Well, it has been a wonderful afternoon. I'm Erin Ekstrand, so thankful for the chance to fill in for Neil Stavem today. Tomorrow, Neil's going to be talking to Angela Waite as she shares her journey of finding hope and healing after the loss of her son. She'll share reflections from her book, Bomb Pops, Blow Dryers, and Butterfly Kisses. Easy for me to say. On the next Connecting Faith, that'll be tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon Central Time.
Yeah, and that one's actually with Jill Bender on
Friday.
Oh, it is
with Jill. Oh, that's right. It's Friday tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay, well. Well, that's great. Well, it's been a wonderful day talking again about marriage and connecting, and there's a great resource available through My Faith Radio right now called the Family Life Bible. Every week we're giving away a copy of this great resource. You could experience richness in your marriage with the help of Dennis and Barbara Rainey. It covers many of the issues present in today's marriages, and it's going to help point you in the right direction. So if you're interested in winning a copy of that, again, one giving away each way, one a week, right, Ted?
One a week, that's right. And 52 devotions for couples in there, so there you go, a devotion a week.
Fantastic.
80 parenting questions are answered, Bible book introductions, a lot of romance tips even.
Oh, my goodness.
Guys, maybe we need help with that too. Quotes, notes, a really good resource. Yeah, so check that out. It's a free resource we're giving away once a week. MyFaithRadio.com, you can't miss it on the main page. It's right there for signing up.
All right, well, I'm going to go over there right now. Can I go over there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, MyFaithRadio.com, I'm going to sign up. Thanks for being with us this afternoon again. Great show coming up tomorrow with Joe Bender and more great programming. You got Susie Larson, you've got Nancy Lee DeMoss, and so many others coming up this afternoon. Thank you for listening to Faith Radio.